Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. If you're reading that in the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 831. This is what God's Word says. Your attitude should be that the same as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Made himself nothing, taking on the nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Absolutely fantastic passage of Scripture, and look forward to hearing God's message to us this morning through his speaker. Pastor Lynn, God bless you.
Nina, thank you. Thank you for blessing us with that special today. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask that you would please open up once again to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians, chapter 2. The title of this morning's message is The Attitude. And as Paul is writing this particular letter to the church at Philippi, I believe that he's writing, in my opinion, I believe that he's writing to his favorite church that he ever pastored. And he is filled with encouragement. He is just filled with wanting them to be all that God wants them to be. And so as he is writing in this second chapter, he is talking about the subject, if you will, of humility. And in the subject of humility, he is talking about the idea of the fact that we as well need to be humble in our spirits. And we need to be humble in our lives. And in fact, he comes out to let each of us know that since the resurrection has taken place, a part of the result of the resurrection is the fact that God has sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us. And because of that, then we have the very essence of the presence of God with us day by day, week by week, hour by hour, moment by moment. The Holy Spirit indwells us if we're God's children. And so as he is talking about this, he talks about then the fact that we need to have the same mind as Jesus Christ. And that's what our attitude should be. And so let's begin to look at this. I want to share out of this passage that Pastor Homer so beautifully read. I want to share with you five things this morning. I want to share with you the examination, the equality, the emptying, the exaltation, and the everies. So let's look at this and work our way through this particular passage. Let's look again at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I'm going to read this through the American Standard Version. If you don't have that translation, you just want to listen, that'd be great. Paul says this, beginning in verse 5, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we ask that you would take the words of this particular passage of Scripture and that you would drive them deep into our minds. That, Lord, we would be able to acknowledge who you are and in submission be able to acknowledge who we are in you. And so, Lord, open us up and fill us, and we'll give you thanks. For it's in your glorious and your holy name we pray. Amen. As Paul begins this particular passage of Scripture, he talks literally about the fact that we need to do an examination. We need to examine ourselves absolutely, but we have to know what it is that we are to become and what we are to reflect. And so as he is beginning this, he says, look, you must have the attitude of Jesus Christ. Well, I can't do that because I'm God. Well, don't you sell God short. Because that's what I see a lot of people doing. They're just selling God short. And they're hiding behind, well, I'm just human. Don't use that as an excuse. You were created in the image of God. If you are created in the image of God, there is the opportunity and the potential for the restoration of the image of God in your life. And that happens at the moment that you repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The image of God is restored in you. The image of God is renewed in you. Now there becomes a wrestling point that begins to take place. And that is the issue of the old self as opposed to the spiritual self. The old attitude of life, it's all about me. It's the old attitude of life that grabs a microphone and sings out loud, I did it my way. It is the old attitude of life that says, look, things will be done the way I want them done, or hit the bricks, man. That's the old attitude of life. The new attitude is the attitude of Jesus Christ, who willingly went to a cross, who willingly took on sin, not on behalf of himself, but took on sin on behalf of others, who willingly set aside his self-glory in order that he might bring salvation to you and I. And so as we do this examination, that's how we have to examine ourselves. Where am I in my walk? Where am I in my spiritual life? Am I an individual who is saying, you know what, it's God's way and I'm going to honor God's way and that means I have to be submissive in all things, or is it my way? Paul reveals a lot in the first word of that fifth verse. Depending on the particular translation you use, and the translation can go with any one of these because they're all the same. Let the mind of Christ be in you. That's what some translations say. The New American Standard happens to say, have this attitude. Let the same mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, or have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so we have to examine what was the mindset of Jesus Christ. What was the attitude that he had? And since I am to have that, obviously, I'm kind of the one who determines whether I will allow that in my life or not. Have the same attitude as Christ. What was the attitude of Christ? It was sacrifice, not self. Do you remember, we looked a little bit at it. Jesus goes out into the garden on the night that he's betrayed and he's praying. As he is in that garden praying, these are the words that escape his lip that have been recorded for you and I. Father, if there's some other way, let it be done. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. You see, the attitude of sacrifice. I will set aside my will for the will of God. We all face it. Folks, we all face it. We all determine whether we're going to allow the mind of Christ to so permeate us that it makes us walk in faithful obedience to God, or we're going to do it our own way. We make that decision. And then it becomes reflected in every aspect of our lives. And as it becomes reflected in every aspect of our lives, it affects us and those that are around us and those that we come in contact with. What are we going to do? In our examination, we need to look at ourselves and say, okay, would I rather have people influenced by my mindset when I consider eternity, or would I rather have them influenced by the mind of Christ, by the attitude of Jesus for eternity's sake? You want to know something? There's not a one of you here that can get someone else to heaven. I can't, nor can you. But Jesus can. And He can through us if we have the attitude of Jesus and the mindset that it's not about me, it's about Him. Have the same attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. The attitude of Jesus was submission to the Father, even to the point of death on a cross. Paul goes on to explain that a little bit. Look at what takes place in the second thing, the examination. Then we want to look at the equality. Look at the sixth verse. Now, because he begins to show what is the attitude of Jesus Christ. He says, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. That verse is so important because it reveals to us the very heart and character of Jesus Christ. Here's Jesus. He's involved in the creation of the world. You do realize that, don't you? Jesus didn't suddenly exist because a virgin gave birth in Bethlehem. Jesus existed long before that. Jesus told the Pharisees, look, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus was there at the creation of this earth. All right? Because when you go to Genesis chapter 1, the 26th verse, when it comes to the point of creating man, God says, let us create man in our image. So there's God the Father, God the Son. We've already had the reference of the Holy Spirit over the face of the waters. And so, Jesus is equal with the Father. And in fact, he even tells the Pharisees, or his followers, I and the Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We are one. My dad and I are joined in essence and in power and in integrity and in authority. My father and I are one. Now, Jesus had in creation, and before this world was created, he had all of heaven. Had his own seat. So it was at the right hand of the Father. He had absolutely everything that heaven offers. But when God needed a sacrifice, he was willing to set aside all of that to be born like you and I. To bring the hope of God to a hopeless world. To bring light into this world that was so darkened by sin that people could not see goodness any longer. He didn't consider, boy, you know what? Grab one of these angels and have them go in my place. Hey, Gabriel, how would you like a job? It's going to be tough. People are going to reject you. People are going to take and nail you on a cross. Gabriel, you want to do it? He didn't do that. He leapt from the throne because he was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. He leapt from the throne. He said, Dad, send me. I'll go. And I'm sure the father said, but you know, son, you're going to have to set all this aside. I understand. You know, son, that as you go, some are going to cheer you and some are going to jeer you. I know. You know, son, some of those who cheer you on one Lord's day are going to cry for your blood just a few days later on Friday. I know. You know, son, you have to do this on your own. I know. I know. Okay, son. You see, Jesus is equal to the Father in all respects, but he willingly laid that equality aside to be submissive to his Father. And in his submission to the Father, he took the rejection of man. He took the pain of the crucifixion. He took the rejection of man. He took absolutely everything that man could dish out when he could have stopped it at any moment. I love that old gospel song that says he could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and I. He had all of the resources of heaven to stop the devastation. But he chose to die so that others could live. See, that doesn't sound to me like self-centeredness that says, I did it my way. It sounds to me like a Savior who submitted to the sacrifice so that we could be given life and we could be given hope. Have the same attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be clutched, a thing to be grasped, a thing to be held on to. Now notice third, I want you to notice the emptying. Look at verse 7. But emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being made in the likeness of men. The glory of Jesus Christ was so incredible after the resurrection, after he'd been restored, after he'd been renewed, after he'd been glorified. The glory of the resurrection was so incredible that the guys that he had walked with for 3.5 years didn't even recognize him. They didn't even recognize him. The women at the tomb didn't recognize him, supposing him to be the gardener. What have you done with him? Their minds had to be opened by Jesus himself. Then they caught on. You see, the glory of everything that Jesus Christ was prior to his coming to this earth, he willingly laid aside. And so that as he lay in that manger, just looked like an average child. The glory, gone. But he took on the form of man. Did you ever stop to realize that Jesus came here totally helpless? Did you ever stop to think about that? You know that Jesus had to be fed when he came here? You know that he had to be changed when he came here? Do you know that he had to be bathed when he came here? Do you realize that he had to learn to walk just like you and I? Do you realize that in that process, there would have been times when he stumbled, bumped his nose, and cried? You see, he came and experienced life as a man the same way that you and I do. That's how much he wanted to identify with our situation and our circumstance. And yet he did it throughout his life without committing sin. Because he was yielded to the Father. Father, whatever your will is, that's what I'll do. You see, he emptied out everything when he left heaven in order to be born as we are. And now look at what that verse says. It says that he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And now continue on there a little bit. Verse 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. How much emptier could he have been than taking on the pain, the rejection, in order that we could have life? That's incredible. That's it. That just absolutely blows my mind. all of the angels at his beck and call. And yet he said, I'll set that aside to be what they can't be. And that's the perfect sacrifice. So he took on the form of a bond slave. The God of creation being bonded for you and I to be able to have life. To take on our sin. He who never knew sin, to take on our sin so that we could be excused. What an incredible God. There's no other God like him. But he emptied himself. Now look at the result of that in the exaltation. Look at verses 8 and 9. And being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, and whenever you see the word therefore, you have to see what it's there for. All right? Because of all of this, look at this. Therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. The name which is above every name. God has highly exalted him. I wonder what heaven must have been like at the ascension. Do you ever wonder that? What was it like as Jesus lifted up through the clouds? What was it like as he came to the gates? What was it like when he entered the throne room, having succeeded in his mission, having defeated the enemy? What was it like when he went before his dad and he laid at his feet the keys of death and hell? What was it like in heaven? Was it a moment of silence where all of heaven is in awe of what's taking place? Or was it an eruption of praise and adoration when the gates first opened? I don't know, but I do know this. The Word of God tells us that God has exalted him. Exalted him. Lifted him higher than anyone or anything else. That God has given him a name. And that at that name, every knee will bow. And that at that name, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. God has highly exalted him. There's not a one of us, not a one of us, we may think so, but there's not a one of us that is going to have that kind of glory. Because there's not a one of us that was ever worthy to die for the sins of the world. When we sing and we praise, my fear is that we far too often just sing words. We don't place our hearts in it. We don't give God glory in it. And far too often we're just kind of, man, let's just get through this. Not another hymn. Or others are going, oh no, there come the guitars. And we check out. Folks, we have the honor and the privilege of knowing the King of Kings and knowing Him intimately. We have the honor and the privilege of coming into His presence through worship and through adoration, and of having Him come here to be with us. For He has promised, where two or three gather together in My name, there I am in their midst. And what do we do? Oh, not that hymn. Folks, we need to understand that the exalted Christ is a part of our family. He is. He is a part of our family. The exalted Christ has given us the privilege of sharing in His name. That gift began at Antioch, where they were first called Christians. And we shouldn't be willing to throw that aside to get our way. We should worship God with spirit and with truth, because that's what He asks and that's what He requires. Someday, everyone will worship Him that way. The sad thing is, at the close of that incredible worship moment, some will hear the words, "Depart from me, for I don't know you." Some will hear, "Enter into the joy of My Father that's been prepared for you." But some will hear, "Be gone. Go away." And it's those who refuse to submit to God and His way and His will who will hear the words, "Be gone, for I don't know you." That's what Paul's heart was beating when he wrote to this church, and he said, "Man, have the attitude of Christ. Have the heart of Christ, where others are more important than you, and where God is more important than others. Have the attitude in you that sacrifice is more important than sustenance. Have the attitude in you that Jesus had and has." Look at the Everys, finally, verses 10 and 11. "That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven," those who have gone to heaven before us, all right? That's what it's referring to. Those who have gone to heaven before us, as well as all of the angelic hosts, all right? "Of those on the earth," those who are alive, "and of those under the earth," those who have died. And the under the earth symbol here is that there's going to come a time when everyone in hell will give God glory and give Him praise. They refused in this life by stubbornness. They refused, but they'll do it then. Because every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But death and hell then will be cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are, where Satan himself dwells. Everyone. The hope is this. You have now to make your appointment with God. You have now to submit yourself totally and completely to Him. Take on His mind. You have this opportunity to make certain that you hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You have now to make sure that everything's right so that you don't hear the words, "Be gone. Go away. Get out of here." So what will you do? Let's stand. I had a song chosen for a closing song, and I've decided we're not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to ask you to open up to number 376. I have decided to follow Jesus. You see, you have the chance right now to decide. Are you going to do it God's way? Or are you going to be stubbornly resistant to Him? You have the chance now to make the decision to follow Jesus Christ and to live for Him in a way that brings honor and glory to Him. Or you have the chance to be stubbornly resistant and not humble yourself before God here. And so what will you choose? I suggest you choose Jesus and you choose Him quickly, for time's running out. So we're going to sing this, and if you're here today, I'm not going to speak at all during this song. But if you're here today and you are sensing that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you and letting you know you're not right with me, you need to make it right, I encourage you to come. Come to this altar. Jesus took on all of the forces of evil for you publicly. Don't you be ashamed to publicly make your decision to follow Him. So I invite you to come. I would love to introduce you to Jesus. So let's sing number 376, and then we'll close. Our gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word. Father, sometimes Your Word is a little tough to take, but it's truth. So, Lord, I pray for everyone in this sanctuary today that if Your Holy Spirit is speaking to anyone about their need for Jesus and they haven't step forward, they're just kind of resistant, Lord, I pray that You won't stop speaking to them, but that You will continue to speak to them, that You will continue to reach out to them and continue to draw them until they reach that point where they have make the decision to let Your mind be their mind, and that they will live Your way in this sin-darkened world. So, Father, help them. Encourage them. Bless them. Break them in order that they might become yours. Father, thank you for these moments we've had together here today. Now as we leave this place, help us to leave here yielded to you and ready to do your will in this world. For it's in your awesome and incredible name we pray, that name that is above every name, that name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. The very name of Jesus. Amen.